goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Bison Report Radio Podcast, brought to you by Big Deck Barbecue. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum, joining me back in studio. We did not love the remote situation. We did not. Is my guy and yours, Zach Willis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. You know, us two notorious great planners.
Yeah,
so we got stuck with what we had for the recap pod, but we're back in the studio, put out a quality product again.
We are. And it is always good to see, always good to be here in the building. We've got a different Missouri State team coming, in my opinion, a different Missouri State team coming to the Fargo Dome. But let us hit the news. First thing I thought was kind of interesting, Jeff Kolpak of the Forum, speaking to Matt Larson after the press conference and got the scoop that potentially the IPF is ahead of schedule. As somebody that has seen, I'm sure, the plans for the IPF and somebody who has practiced without one.
Correct.
What can that mean just to, like, for the day-to-day life of a Bison football player?
That's huge, because any other facility is unusable for 9 months out of the year here. Like, just in the conditions we're practicing in, even towards late November through December, and then getting ready for Frisco, obviously, it's hard to walk from the dome to the bubble and then walk back out through the snow. And I'm sure the same thing will be happening, but it makes you feel a little better when that trek ends at a gorgeous place like the IPF is going to be, rather than a giant, like, golf bubble over Dakota Field.
Sure. Cramart is famous.
Yep.
Certainly. But you talk to me about, like, obviously the Shack is great.
Yep.
But talk to me about the potential of a football-specific weight training area in the IPF and leaving basically the Shack to the Olympic sports.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Just, I think it works in favor of both ways, in the fact that we are not clean humans and we do our best to, like, keep everything organized in there, but it's not always the nicest shape after we get out. And also, then it's less time for them to schedule around us too, because we have four lifting groups throughout the day. So I think just clearing up that space makes a lot of sense for everybody. And, you know, I think it's something that NDSU football deserves, is a place that they can call their own.
Absolutely. No, I get it. And I think, too, it really does open up, you know, potential and possibility of more convenient times to lift. And I'm sure Kramer will still have the 6 a.m. lift.
Of course he will.
Because of the way it makes you behave the night before.
Correct.
Et cetera.
It's character building.
Character building and really kind of the buy-in to the program. I get all that. But also, there's opportunities to do practice and to do lift without having to clear it with hoops or track, yep, and field or wrestling or the Fargo Dome.
Right.
Is Guns N' Roses coming to, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
Like, those kind of conversations don't have to happen anymore.
I also think, 2 points, it's huge that we still have the ability to go out on a grass field or another turf field and still get the outdoor elements when we are playing outside.
Right.
Obviously, you have to do that and get ready. But the edge this gives us in recruiting, because a lot of people see our facilities and they don't think sometimes that it matches up to the level that NDSU football is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have a gorgeous indoor practice facility like that. I wouldn't take them anywhere else on campus besides the dome for the game. Just go look at the indoor practice facility. This is where you're going to spend 80% of your time, 10s in the classroom and 10s in the dome. And I think that sells itself on a recruiting pitch.
I think it would, too. We give you some visit info when we can. Looks like three-star 2023 quarterback the Bison already have. their 2022 quarterback underfoot, or in this class. 2023 quarterback out of Iowa, I believe out of the Des Moines area, Jameson Patton on campus. This is a three-star kid, quarterback slash athlete, very much in the Quincy Patterson, Trey Lance mold of being able to get it done on the ground and through the air. And just kind of an interesting thing. And honestly, the same mold as Cole Payton, to be yep. honest with you. I think you could build the North Dakota State offense around an elite pocket passer, but just doesn't look like they want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like they're recruiting their mold that they saw a lot of success with, even going back to Brock. You know, Steve Walker was, he's our guy, but I wouldn't necessarily say he was mobile. But Brock ran all over people when he needed to, and then obviously up to Carson, who can move in the pocket and scramble around a little bit, and then Easton is a freak show. He could play any other position on offense or defense. He's athletic enough. And then number five speaks for himself when he plays. But it's obviously a mold they like to recruit now, and it works in their offense. So they're, three-star kids, Iowa State interest, just looking through his Twitter.
Yeah.
And kid's a special player, so it's really cool that we keep getting guys like this.
For sure. And I would say his commitment is not imminent or sure. maybe yeah. even probable, but you got to like where they're setting their – look, Cole Payton chose North Dakota State over Nebraska and Iowa State.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility. The other thing, too, is just kind of an interesting thing, and I'm not necessarily even dumping on Nathan Hayes, but it seems like these kids are smart in the sense of, like, there wasn't a huge deal kid that came to North Dakota State as a quarterback after Trey Lance did.
Right.
And there's not a huge deal kid in the 20s. Like, Nathan Hayes may turn out to be the best quarterback in the history of North Dakota State.
Yep.
But he's not a three-star.
Right.
Right. And now he's not even a two-star. And I think that gets used in, you want to sit behind Cole Payton for 4 years? That sounds great.
Right.
That sounds like an awesome idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you get 1 year removed from the threat of Cole Payton, and I think you get back into the conversation with some of these, like, high-level kids.
Right. And I think the cool part is, too, is that, it breeds that competition just naturally from other guys that come in classes behind them, because obviously if Cole Payton's the guy after Quincy leaves or whoever ends up starting, all those guys are going to be battling, like we saw with Zeb and Cam in the spring. It's cool how the culture of that room is built in the fact that Monday through Friday, they're trying to dog each other and beat each other out. But Saturday, they're the most supportive dudes on the team. So,
yeah,
like you said, it's everybody's goal is to play in college football, and it's hard to look at a guy like Cole Payton only being a freshman and being like, oh yeah, I'll get my money's worth if I go to NDSU. But it obviously says something if guys like him are still visiting.
It does for sure. Bad news on the Carson versus Trey front. We're getting further and further away.
Yeah. Straying from the light of God.
Yeah. Jimmy G returns to practice with that calf. Trey does not. I think if they're both healthy, unless we misunderstand something, Jimmy G's the starter.
Right.
So it's more than likely going to be Garoppolo versus Wentz. By the way, Carson's having a year.
Yes, he is.
He's having a year.
It kind of looks like Indy's finally starting to put some stuff together to win games. And that's exciting.
They had no business losing that game to Baltimore.
No, yeah. But, Carson is just a guy that, I'm a Chargers fan, you're a Packers fan, but we're all rooting for Carson.
Oh, for sure.
He's just one of those guys.
For sure. For sure. The last thing, Zeb, your guy.
Zeb Ulaya. That's the correct name.
And pour one out for our guy, Aaron Blazek.
Yeah.
That is, for those of you that aren't paying attention, AJ Blazek, the offensive line coach at Vanderbilt, has now dropped a game to two former North Dakota State offensive players that were on the offense while he was
correct
here on staff in the center at ETSU.
Joe Schreiber.
Yep. And our guy,
Zeb. And not even just a loss, like an absolute knife to the heart.
Right. an epic 75-yard touchdown drive. There was some bar down there that said Zeb's money is not good here anymore. Yeah. So maybe we need to get down to South Carolina and have a couple cocktails with Zeb because he's not paying anymore. He is honestly going to end up like in Gamecock lore, even though they're going to have a trash season.
If I'm Zeb, I never leave Columbia.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm a lifer there, no matter what position it brings me. But it's just so cool to see him like kind of rebound from what would what he would consider a down spring and a disappointment in a lot of people's eyes. But I mean, my dude is killing it in the SEC, and that makes me so happy.
Yeah, he's going to. That young man is going to be the head man at South Carolina by like 2030. It's going to be awesome.
I love it.
It's going to be awesome. Okay.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
You know, as I mentioned during the recap, we'll be out of tailgating again.
Yes, bright sir.
And early. So as soon as you guys get there, we'll be there. We'll be set up. We'll have, according to my dad, who actually feels like doing some work this week. And
oh, goodness.
Yeah. We'll have the seasonings, maybe hot sauce.
Wow.
Maybe have hot sauce, but we'll have the barbecue sauces, the mustards. And as always, good conversation. You can always count on that from Big Deck Barbecue.
Sure. And I think what we're going to do at the Bison Report tailgate, we're going to make it real easy. I'm thinking about grilled cheese sandwiches on the Blackstone.
Dude, I was literally going to text you today. You should just do grilled cheeses.
All right. Well, that's going to be the plan. So stop by for a grilled cheese sandwich. Again, we are as far south and as far west as you get. We're breaking in that new Blackstone grill. We're real, real excited about it.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10. Trot in there, baby.
All right. Let's get into it. For those of you Bison fans that really, really just kind of lock into FCS football, it is important to, I believe, without being too slanderous, although slander isn't true, so maybe we're just speaking fact. It's important for y'all to understand who this man, Bobby Petrino, is. So, we'll give you the kind of the short version. Bobby Petrino takes the head job at Louisville after a pretty darn good run as an assistant coach. Ends up really being pretty excellent. 12 wins in 2006, 11 wins in 2004, and then gets a massive extension. And 6 months into a 10-year, $25.6 million deal,
unbelievable,
to kind of build the entire Louisville program, he accepts the head coaching position for the Atlanta Falcons. They brought him in to work with Michael Vick, and then the dogfighting ring thing happens, which by the way has nothing to do with Petrino. It's important. Correct. It's important, yeah, for all of the kind of, you know, dumping that somebody may or may not do on Petrino. He did not have anything to do with the dogfighting ring, but ultimately, they were 3-10 and 20 reportedly 24 hours after personally promising Arthur Blank that he was staying in Atlanta, he resigned to become the head coach at Arkansas. It's a very, very, like, I that press conference is burned into my mind with him doing
best college football picture of all time
when he's doing. No, the Arkansas one, when he's doing the woo pig suey thing, yeah, like immediately after promising Arthur Blank that he's not leaving, just hysterical. So he goes 5-7 in 2008, 2009. They get a little bit better. They've got Ryan Mallett. They just about upset Tim Tebow and Florida. And the Razorbacks ultimately won't go 10-2 in 2010. They get to the 2011 Sugar Bowl, play against Terrell Pryor in Ohio State. They beat K-State in the 2012 Cotton Bowl Classic. That was a good K-State team.
Yep.
They go 11-2, and then he gets in a motorcycle crash.
Yep.
Which is not ideal because he was riding with former Arkansas All-SEC volleyball player Jessica Durrell, who he had hired as a student athlete development coordinator on the football team. He originally told the university he was alone. Turns out he was not. And obviously Jessica Durrell was at the time not Mrs. Petrino. So he also gave her $20,000 as a Christmas present. Not a good situation. He was then fired by Arkansas, ends up at Western Kentucky. Ultimately, takes the job back at Louisville. Believe he had Lamar Jackson there.
Sure did.
And won the Heisman Trophy, which was amazing. And then, you know, did not really continue to develop the program after Lamar left and was fired for nothing inappropriate that he did, but was fired from not succeeding.
Yep.
And here he is now at Missouri State. That's how we got here, folks.
Just the wildest ride of all time.
It is. So big shout, Coach Petrino.
Hey, you say what you want. The man can coach some ball.
He can, and I think that's why he keeps getting second chances,
yep.
Third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. These guys, the kind of the greasy, kind of the scummy ones,
mm-hmm.
they seem to be difficult to kill, to truly kill. And here he is kind of turning around Missouri State's program.
1,000%. And we knew that when he got hired, like, Missouri State is about to become transfer U because he's going to find these dogs and recruit them to come.
Well, right. And that's the next thing I want to get to, which is Coach Entz. And I'm not disagreeing with him or telling him that he's wrong, but he's like, hey, these guys have 20 seniors on the two deep. They do. I'm on their roster right now. I'm just going to list the previous schools, four guys on their roster, and you can kind of keep track of in your head how many of these dudes are transfers. You ready?
I'm ready.
Louisville, Western Kentucky, Snow College, Junior College, Vanderbilt, Utah State, Central Michigan, Iowa Central Community College, Kilgore College, Junior College, Modesto Junior College, Cincinnati, New Mexico State, Southern Miss, El Camino College, Junior College, Independence Community College, Houston, ASA College, Miami. I honest to God don't know what that is. Alabama State, Florida Atlantic, Central Michigan, Boise State, American River College. Again,
they're in Bishop Sycamore's division.
Yeah, 100%. Northeastern Oklahoma A&M, Kansas State, Snow College, Southwestern College, Modesto Junior College, Lackawanna College, River City College, Coastal Carolina, Coffeyville Community College, Fort Hays State, Northern Arizona, Cerritos College, and Mississippi State. I don't know how many dudes I just listed off the top of my head.
Lots of them.
But that is not a lot of homegrown talent.
And here's the thing. You can build your team however you want. And I'll just say this. Teams that build their teams this way, it's not sustainable because you don't build culture. But, you know, you can talk about 20 seniors on the roster. It's because they've all been playing 4 years of college football somewhere else.
Can I bring you a take?
Yeah.
He's doing this to not be the coach there much longer.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I figured. But very different than the way our man Nick Hill is doing it.
Right, right. Like Bobby Petrino is turning around Missouri State, so another FBS team will take.
So the sixth chance comes.
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right, but those 20 seniors on the two deep, and ultimately this kind of cobbled together roster does not get drilled by Oklahoma State. Lose 23-16 in Stillwater. It was a pretty impressive performance.
Yeah, I mean, to go into a place like you can say what you want about Big 12 offensive football, yada yada. I mean, that's not an easy place to play, regardless of what level of football it is. And that kind of shocked me when I look at the schedule earlier when we were talking about them in the recap. But I mean, it's not something you'd expect from a Missouri State team of late to be able to hang with a Big 12 team like they did.
No, it's very impressive. And to just kind of give context again, and we're getting long-winded and listy on this show, but that's all right. We want to give the people some context here. So here's some context. On January 15th, 2020, Bobby Petrino replaced Dave Steckel. So in 2019, here are your scores, and I'm going to read their score first, okay? L, 23-37. L, 6-58. And that was against Tulane. That's FBS, but Tulane's not great. L, 24-35. Win, 37-31 in three overtimes at Macomb.
Against a bad Western team, too.
Yes. L, 10-45. L, 0-22.
I played in that game.
I bet you did. L, 6-29, L, 14-35, L, 14-37, L, 12-17, and L, losing 24-51 at home on senior day to end the Steckel era. These boys have come a long way.
For sure. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head what their other results this year have been, but I know they took it to Illinois State earlier this year. And like, this is not the Missouri Bears that you just mark off as a win on the schedule every year.
Right, right. And that's, I mean, that's a big deal because this, I think this conference has always been described as top heavy.
Yeah.
And for, and Indiana State had a minute and now they're kind of back down to being the automatic W on
the
schedule.
Should have been a playoff team that year.
But other than that, Missouri State is kind of on the come. And obviously South Dakota State is where they is. Nick Hill's got Southern Illinois rocking.
Those boys are some dogs.
USD looks good.
Yep.
So the middle of the conference on the come up. I appreciate that.
Except for you, UND, you trash cans.
Question. If UND does not win a conference game this year, do they have to give the banner back?
They should have to light it on fire in the middle of the Alaris. That would be so sweet. Oh, my God. I would just taste the tears of flowing from Grand Forks.
I'm kidding. They're going to win a conference game. That's mean.
Maybe.
Titus Wall, really impressive kid. Their top graded guy by Pro Football Focus College. This guy has played in all 11 games as a true freshman, started all 11 games as a sophomore, and started all 11 games as a junior. This man has played 33 games of football for a school that didn't go to the playoffs. So he's, I mean, a lot of NDSU guys get that many games, but they have 15, 16 game season.
Right.
This dude has played some serious football and is an impressive player.
Yeah, that's a lot of football. I mean, they'll probably, I would imagine Missouri State will be a playoff team. You know, obviously.
I think so.
Yeah, you know, disregarding some massive catastrophe, they don't make it. But, I mean, he's going to finish with upwards of almost 50 games in his career. That's a lot of football, and that's an impressive thing to have under your belt no matter where you play.
It absolutely is, and I'm finally impressed with a group of linebackers. Manu Leolea and Wiltz, two guys I think that can actually move and can actually play, which, you know, we mentioned I went in and kind of watched the film, and I didn't love Illinois State's backers, and I didn't love UNI's backers.
Yeah.
These guys can actually flow to the football, make plays. When, as opposed to like the last 2 weeks, I want to talk to offensive lineman Zach. As opposed to the last 2 weeks when you're dealing with a dog at nose, what running the football, what challenges do stud linebackers pose as opposed to really good interior defensive linemen? Because that, there is no Powell or Brinkman on on Missouri State's roster.
Yeah, so, I mean, the problem that arises with good linebackers is, one, I think these guys can come downhill and still thump you a little bit, but more the issue of running zone schemes and having to come off combos faster because your linebacker's moving to the to your spot before you're getting there. So that's where the issues come and make D-tackles look better. So, I mean, if they did have a stud defensive lineman like Brinkman or name is escaping me.
Powell. Yeah.
Both studs, but they make their linebackers look good because they're keeping them clean, eating up double teams. Whereas if you're in combos running zone schemes and this dude is sprinting to the sideline, you're going to have to leave a little sooner. So that makes the backside guy on the combo work a little harder. And it just stresses you out because you're having to deal with so much lateral movement.
So is this a kind of a week for Power? Some gap scheme stuff, some man stuff?
I would imagine so, especially with the lack of strength in their front four.
Okay.
I think it kind of pairs up well for a good pin pull, good power scheme week, which might be good for these fans to see a little throwback Bison football.
Yeah, we haven't seen a ton of power. Yep. I mean, it's been a heavy, in my opinion, it's been a heavy zone year. It's been a heavy duo year. You saw some really nice duo stuff against Illinois State.
Duo is a great call against linebackers like this because they can't be right in whatever their decision is. And then it's just execution on for the Rams as far as that goes.
Sure. I think that makes plenty of sense. These boys, and I'm kind of stalling here just a little bit because I want to grab the stats I was looking at earlier. This is not, and I will say this, the film confirms this. This is not a particularly good offensive line. And I think that sometimes happens when you cobble together a team like this. The cohesion is not necessarily great.
Sure. It's also just hard to, like, good offensive lines are very, very far and few between.
Yeah.
The main thing is just, like you said, execution and cohesiveness, communication. But that's all stuff that's very hard for people to coach. And we talked about this earlier in the week. The guys that can do it stay offensive line coaches for their entire careers for the most part because nobody else knows how to do it.
For sure. No, for sure. These guys, though, 4.1 yards per carry on the ground, very pedestrian.
Yep.
And then just looking at their kind of advanced numbers in pass pro, they've allowed in, and this is through, I want to make sure, because FCS right now is not getting caught up with PFF College as quickly as they used to. So they've played 6 games. These numbers are through 4 games, so keep that in mind. Through 4 games, they have allowed 5 sacks, 4 QB knockdowns, and 41 hurries.
That's a lot of heat on the QB.
It's a lot of heat on the QB.
For a Code Green Alley Cat group that has their ears pinned back right now.
Yeah.
And those boys are flying around.
B-Tom is probably listening to this like, Coach, I glue my elbow back together. Yeah. I do not care. I'm very, very, very interested and excited to see what this defensive line group can do against this offensive line because they've got kind of a jitterbug quarterback to deal with for the first time really this season, where you're definitely stressed about mobility. I know obviously Gronowski had a phenomenal game in the Fargo Dome last year, and honestly, you go back to Taron Christian, they've done well against Eric Berrier in the past, but look, mobile quarterbacks have been a Achilles heel for North Dakota State.
1,000%.
Just because of some of the things that they do principle-wise on defense. And this kid was highly touted. He's 5'11". You know, he's a, kind of a little guy.
Yeah.
But he was highly touted coming out as a dual-threat quarterback, goes to Utah. That's Pac-12 stuff. Doesn't quite work out. Okay, we're going to drop down. We're going to play in the Mountain West at Utah State. Doesn't work out. Now we've dropped down. And you can see his yards per carry go up as he goes against defenses with less and or fewer athletes out there. And he is running the ball well and throwing it okay this year.
But the scary part about mobile quarterbacks is when the play gets extended, because you can only sit in zone or cover a guy in man for so long.
Right.
So what it really is going to take is a lot of discipline from the front four and rush lanes and contain, making sure everybody's in their spots. But also, like you said, it just comes, which I was very surprised with how well we handled Eric Berrier in the playoffs last year, because he, besides Strevler, I think he's the best football player I've seen in person.
He did some wild stuff,
too. He's unbelievable. But just the fact, like, we're running 4 down, that takes another linebacker off the field compared to guys who run a 3 down Okie front, where it's another linebacker that can kind of drop in space and do the same thing. But I know NDSU isn't going to change defensive philosophies because of 1 week, one guy. They're going to get the job done with whoever goes out on the field.
And they have 3-3 stuff in the playbook.
For sure.
It does exist. And I wonder if you don't get the Jabril Cox quarterback agitator role going to Jasir or to Wiz, because that's something that, like with Brian Shore, with Berrier, you have seen an athletic Bison linebacker with some ability, and obviously Jabril, really just, we're going to shut you down. We're going to play 10 on 11 because we've got a literal quarterback agitator, a QB spy out there to cause problems for you.
Right, that's the thing. A guy like that plays that spy, it's not even a thing where if they're scrambling, they're going. It's like, if you're dropping back, I'm adding, and I will be in your face every time you throw the ball. And like we talked about with offensive line at NDSU, those gut punches add up, and it makes guys think twice about throwing the ball every time when they know they're getting hit by Cole Wisniewski. And I think that'd be a good plan. They should put me and you in charge of the defense.
They should put us for this one. They should put us in charge of a lot of stuff.
You're right.
Offensively, for these dudes, 153 per game through the air, 134 on the ground. Not incredibly productive when you're averaging under 300 total yards of offense per game. And but they're balanced. They are balanced.
And I think the thing is, like, they do play that complimentary brand of football that works. I mean, their defense does pick them up and can keep them in games, especially if you're not executing on offense.
Not really sure what to think of these guys defensively, because you're impressed, right? You're impressed by some of the results here. Certainly, you're impressed initially by the ability to keep Oklahoma State under 25. But then you give up 34 to Central Arkansas, give up 23 to South Dakota in a win. But you get 41 pieced by Youngstown State. What is going on there?
I think that's one of those things that goes in the culture of a program where you ride the high and then you fall into the lows. But, you know, teams that do it consistently and have that culture built up don't really have lapses in judgment like that. And I think that could just be a result of that happening.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Two picks last week for Quincy Patterson. This defense, and we're not taking PFF college here. We're talking about just regular old boring statistics. 9 interceptions through 6 games. He's got to take care of the football, man. These guys are getting after it.
That's a lot of takeaways.
And, it is.
You know, and that means it's being dispersed through multiple people, not just one guy hawking everybody, because 9 through 6, even if you're averaging one pick a game,
yeah,
that's really good. And, you know, it's going to have to be a little different than it was last week with Quincy. You know, you're going to have to protect that thing, because these guys are a team that if you give them a chance to have some spark and have a little bit of life, they'll jump on it. But if you jump on the throat right away and, you know, step on the gas, the game can be over in the first quarter.
For sure. These corners are just okay.
Yep.
That makes it C-dub time.
Absolutely. That makes it everybody time.
It is. Nice to see Phoenix get going a little bit.
It's always good to see feet go.
And I just think, like, one is going to be we mentioned, like, going side to side on these linebackers might not be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Even Quincy meeting these guys in the hole might not be the way to go.
Right.
The perimeter might be where you have your matchups with Babich and Gindorf and Watson.
Yeah, because if you can seal these guys in, ain't nobody on the field catching one.
Right.
So, you know, I even rewatched that play on the goal line that we tweeted from BR.
That was slick.
I think the one with Quincy and C-Dub where Quincy kept it.
Oh, 4th and 2, yeah.
I mean, I naturally, and I'm not the one making the read, obviously, but my initial thing would be to give it to one every time because nobody's beating him to an edge. You know, you can see it from a tight end shot or from the end zone shot, and whoever's getting red, it might be by the playbook to keep it.
That's my thing, is I don't think he made a terrible read because that front side defender is honoring Watson.
Yeah.
But
what's he going to do?
What's he going to do? Exactly, yeah. I think, is the point. You're absolutely right. Like, if that's a handoff, he's beating
Gonzo.
Yeah, he is beating him to the corner. But it's hard to get after Quincy for making the wrong read because I'm not even sure it was.
Right, and that's just that competitive nature of Quincy, too, is like, you know, ball's in our court. Am I going to get this first down or not? I like seeing a little bit of edge out of him like that.
For sure. I think the number one question with Missouri State has to be, Zach, are they A, going to wear all white, and then will they B, get the Missouri State treatment?
That's the thing, is you would think the record would indicate you and your equipment staff to not put, like, just throw a maroon pant in and it won't happen. But teams that wear all white in the dome, they just sign their death certificate before they even step off the plane. Uniforms stink, by the way, too.
They do, and I don't, honestly, I think it was Cole Jerick. I can't 100% remember who coined the term Missouri State treatment, but ever since then, anytime anybody has come in with all-white getup, I just have known that it was going to be bad. You just absolutely know.
But it's just, it's like, it takes a certain color scheme and logo to make that look good, but sometimes it's just like, what, don't wear all white. It looks horrible. Western wears it. It looks horrible. Montana came in and wore it. Got their butts kicked in the playoffs. Looked horrible. Stop wearing all white.
And you know who else came in with the all white?
Who's that?
I think for sure once, maybe twice, was the University of North Dakota.
Yeah, ugly.
And they,
it's better than their Arena League football uniforms, I guess.
It is, but they definitely got the treatment. All right, Zach, let us make our predictions. Going through, let's get into it. Certainly some respect for the Bears, an 11.5 point underdog here at the Fargo Dome. I would wager that is the least amount of points NDSU has laid to Missouri State potentially ever.
Yeah, especially of late. But I'll just get right into my prediction.
Yeah, go ahead and call your shot.
I think the Bears cover.
Okay.
17-7 Bison. I think it's going to be ugly, and I can't wait to have angry people in my mentions calling for people to get fired, but we're going to win, and I'm going to say that. I just have a feeling that this Bears team is gritty and we'll grind this one out.
I tell you what, man, if they only score 17, we're going to have a day. We're going to have a week.
Yeah. Might just delete Twitter.
For sure.
Get off the bird.
I'm going big time Bison.
Okay.
Which we've been on the opposite side of this on a number of occasions. I got 38-10 Herd.
Want to push up bet on it?
I don't.
Why not?
Because I don't know if I can do one right now, to be honest.
Do one? Come on, man. All right.
Yeah, I just, here are my thought. You know, when I think this team, and I mentioned this before, really operates well when they're a little bit of a kicked dog.
Sure.
And coach, you know, we talked after the press conference, we talked during the press conference about, mm-hmm. about the offense and coach, I think I believe him when he says that he doesn't pay much attention online because he can't. He A, doesn't have time, and B, like, just can't go there mentally.
Sure.
And I think if I had his job, like, I'd try and stay off social as well.
I would have to. Otherwise, I wouldn't have that
right.
job.
So that's why I think I believe him, because I just don't think it's functional. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure that 19, 20, 21-year-old kids have the same self-control.
I can tell you that they don't.
So what I'm saying is I think these guys have a little something to prove.
Yep.
And playing football at North Dakota State, oftentimes you don't. You know,
right.
There's a lot of times when you don't have anything to prove, and there's yeah. not bulletin board material. I just think offensively, these guys are so close. And these guys just gave up, like I said, just gave up 41 to Youngstown on the road. They're probably feeling pretty good about themselves after that 37-7 piece at home for homecoming.
Yeah.
I think they come into Fargo Dome thinking they're tough, thinking they're nice.
Wearing all white.
Wearing all white, and they're going to get the treatment. I'm going to go by my original statement of I will not pick the Bison to give up more than 10 until I actually see it happen.
Sure.
But I think the offense rolls, man. I think they get going. I think they've got something to prove, and I think they are efficient in the red zone scoring 5 touchdowns and kicking a field goal.
Yeah, and don't like let my prediction paint the fact that I think this team can't route Missouri State. But on the other side of the coin, what I'm thinking of, like you mentioned, is they're feeling good after a win against Indiana State, only giving up 7, scoring 37. They're just one of these teams that, like I said, peaks and valleys, man. So maybe that knockout punch comes early, but I just have a feeling it's going to be ugly on Saturday.
All right, folks. Please give us we haven't talked about this in a while. We've got Zach here. We've got Big Deck Barbecue as a title sponsor of the show. You know what it provides value to our title sponsors, folks? It's people listening. And how you can help with that is we haven't asked for this in a while. Go on iTunes. Go on Spotify. Go wherever you get this podcast. Give us a 5-star review. Subscribe. Unsubscribe and resubscribe.
only review if it's 5 stars.
Yeah.
Otherwise, keep your mean comments to yourself.
But leave a verbal review. That yeah. helps. Mm-hmm. The 5 stars helps. The subscriptions helps. And as I always say with Bison Report Radio, you like the show? Great. Tell 10 friends.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy. I tell people about podcasts all the time. So, you know, I know people can spread the word.
All right. We really appreciate that, folks. We appreciate all of you guys listening, Zach. Appreciate you for being here. We want to thank Big Deck Barbecue again for being the title sponsor of the program. Guys, have fun at tailgating. Stay safe. Have a phenomenal weekend. And go Bison.